We continue with our look at the GOP presidential campaign with a greater focus on the leader of the pack. Of course, that's Donald Trump. Now, when Trump launched his campaign, it was called a PR stunt for his TV show, The Apprentice. He quit the show. It was said no one would take him serious. He went to the top of the polls almost instantly. They said nobody would come out in support of him. Trump draws tens of thousands of people, while Jeb Bush and others struggled to draw 100. After Trump says something labeled as quote-unquote outrageous, it said, okay, that's it, he's finished. Instead, Trump's poll leads increase. Why is all this happening? My next guest with his new book, I believe, has the answers. It's called What America Needs, The Case for Trump. He's a CNN political commentator, former Reagan administration associate political director, contributing editor for American Spectator, Jeffrey Lord. Good morning, Jeffrey.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Wonderful to have you here. Spectator.org is a website where you can see Jeffrey's work for the American Spectator, as well as their other great, insightful, educational journalists. Running for president, or really running for any office, Jeffrey, bare bones, a candidate needs name recognition and voter connection. And for that first part, Trump was at the head of the class, far and above anybody else, maybe except for maybe Chris Christie, which Trump was his worst nightmare, too. But as far as voter connection, what's been one of the main keys where Trump has successfully achieved that?
Yeah, I think one of the main attractions here, generally campaigns, and this is no different, they revolve around economic issues, national security issues, and both of those things are certainly present in this campaign. But I think one of the interesting things about this particular year is he resonates because he's politically incorrect. And this business of political correctness, which began, a few decades ago and was, mildly amusing at first and then sort of irritating, has become, a real shadow over the country and has become dangerous. Easy side of this, people feel uncomfortable that they can't even say Merry Christmas anymore.
Yeah.
And then you get to the far more serious things where you get situations like the shooting in Fort Hood, where you had a U.S. Army major who was of an Arabic background, and he was involved with Al-Qaeda, and everybody around him knew that he was proselytizing for Al-Qaeda and jihad and all this kind of thing, and they never did anything about it. And then he goes into, Fort Hood one day, stands up in a room and says, Allahu Akbar, and shoots to death 13 or 14 people, whatever it was. And then out come the stories that they knew that the Army knew all this and didn't want to touch him because of political correctness. Well, people are dead because of this. I mean, then we have this shooting in San Bernardino, and the woman half of this comes into this country on a K-1 so-called fiancé visa. They don't bother to check her social postings. The neighbors are suspect of what's going on. And they're there building bombs and doing all this other stuff to plan jihad. And now we have another 13 or 14 people shot to death. The American people have had it with this. They have absolutely had it. There is no reason that you should be able to say that you should think that you're going to go to an office Christmas party and have your life ended because some colleague and his wife are going to come in there and kill you to commit jihad. I mean, this is now crazy. It's dangerous. And when Donald Trump speaks in his blunt fashion, the American people are saying that is exactly the kind of person that we need in the White House, somebody who is not afraid to say that we have a problem here with Islamic radicalism, that we're going to deal with it, et cetera. So I think that really is providing some serious rocket fuel here for the Trump campaign.
Most people thought that with Trump stepping forward, his wheelhouse would be the economy, economics, obviously, and you featured as well in What America Needs, the Case for Trump, the five position papers that he has made public on his website, which runs counter to the ignorant claim too many in the media make that Trump is just out there as a bomb thrower, doesn't have details for his ideas. Well, apparently they never heard of Google defined as a campaign website, but Now, along with economics, what other area of national world affairs has Trump shown maybe a surprisingly strong understanding and ideas about?
Well, there are two right off the bat, of course. Most famously is immigration, illegal immigration. The notion that he's anti-immigrant is ridiculous. I mean, here is a guy who is not only married to an immigrant, he's the son and grandson of immigrants. His point is a simple one. Countries have borders. When Sergeant Tamarisi, the U.S. Marine, gets in the wrong lane and winds up in Mexico on the Mexican border, instead of turning him around and sending him back, the Mexican government arrests him for trying to cross the border. I mean, every country in the world has these borders. In private life, all of us have locks on our doors. And if 100 people showed up, 100 strangers, and barged through the door and took over your house, we'd be pretty unhappy.
Yeah.
We have an American population that is 100%, you, me, and everyone we know, that is descended from immigrants. So it's not being anti-immigrant. It is saying, in a policy sense, that you've got to have borders, that people can't come in here illegally, that they've got to wait their turn, and then come in and make of America what they will. This country is not based on ethnicity or race. It's based on principles of freedom and liberty. That's why people want to come. That's what makes America great. So he talks in detail about building a wall. He talks about sending people back, which is what Dwight Eisenhower did. And I'm often amused at this. The biggest controversy over Dwight D. Eisenhower today is, you know, how is his memorial in Washington that they're going to build? What will it look like? That he should have one is not in dispute. And yet he started this inelegantly and deeply politically incorrect name called Operation Wetback. It was cheered on by, of all things, I've gone back and read the coverage in the New York Times in the day. The New York Times loved this. He rounded up illegals and sent them back to Mexico. And today, when Donald Trump says exactly the same thing, you know, this horrified gasp, oh, this was terrible, this was et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yet when you go back and read the coverage of the day says this was a huge success and it was a good thing. And Eisenhower was making the same point exactly. If you're going to come in here, you've got to follow the rules and regulations. And what I find particularly amusing is that the New York Times of the day said that if you were the people that were supporting illegal immigration were basically supporting slavery, because they said these people were coming in and being used to pick vegetables, et cetera, on farms, and that the growers were supporting, in their word, peonage, which is the first cousin to slavery. And now it's exactly the reverse, you know, and everybody's got this politically correct sensitivity here. All we're saying is, come in here legally, and then make of your life what you will in a country that gives you the freedom and liberty to do it. And so Trump lays out in detail how he would do this, and I think that's a very good thing.
Another idea Trump has, too, is cutting back on the work visas for immigrants and making more work and employment opportunities for American youths, especially minorities. That's a surprise probably for some people, where the highest unemployment rate exists. We're talking with Jeffrey Lord, his book, What America Needs, The Case for Trump. He's contributing editor of the American Spectator, commentator for CNN, spectator.org, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Regarding foreign affairs and specifically China, that's another topic of passionate for Trump. And, you know, Trump, I think if you look at what Trump's experience with China is versus the American government experience, the American government owes money to China. Trump has made money off of China.
Right, right. You know, one of the points he makes on this, which I find very interesting, I went back and took a look. I mean, what he's saying in essence is that we're always out negotiated. And I went back and took a look at the history of the people who have been in the U.S. government as the U.S. trade representative. And I'll just pick one at random, and that's one of the early ones. His name was Ron Kirk, I think it was, and he's a former mayor of Dallas, and he was President Obama's first trade representative. Well, here's a guy, his background is that he was the mayor of Dallas, Texas. He ran at least one, if not two, losing campaigns for the United States Senate, and he's a lobbyist. And he was the trade representative. And Trump's point is, It's exactly people like that. They have no idea. I mean, they're given these jobs as political plums, and they actually have no background in what they're doing. And he talks instead about getting people like Carl Icahn, people who are in business, who deal in a serious fashion with China and trade issues, and letting them do the negotiating. And he feels that we're constantly out-negotiated here. And I think he's got a good point. One of the things he says, which I find somewhat amusing, particularly since his daughter, I think, is friends with Caroline Kennedy, he says, you know, Caroline Kennedy is a great person, but why is she the ambassador to Japan?
Yeah.
What does she know about trade? What does she know about dealing with, you know, the Japanese and the Far East on trade issues and that sort of thing? Well, good point. I mean, it's the same point as with the trade representative. So it is a question of not his being a protectionist. He's a free trader. The question is getting the right people in the job who know what they're doing, who can be good negotiators. And I think he's got a point.
And Trump also wants to cut the corporate tax rate in America to 15% to counter against China's corporate tax rate for businesses in their country of 25%, because when you make that more competitive, you wind up being the winner. We have to wrap up with about 30 seconds, Jeffrey, but being the commentator, the observer of you, that you are of all things political, at this point in the game, does Trump get it? Does he win?
I think he can. Yes, I do think he can. Iowa will be very interesting because you've got to get ground troops out there on a caucus night. He's 20 points ahead, so maybe he'll win, maybe he'll lose narrowly. I'm not really sure.
Well, some say
20 points ahead in New Hampshire. He's ahead in South Carolina. I think he stands a very good chance of wrapping this up.
Well, that's one of the things, the assets that some people say Sarah Palin has, because she has the mechanics of the getting out the people machine in Iowa.
Right. She is very popular with evangelicals and conservatives. And I think her appearance in Iowa could help him a lot.
The book is What America Needs, The Case for Trump. He's contributing editor for The American Spectator. He also commentates on CNN, former member of the Reagan administration, Jeffrey Lord, spectator.org for The American Spectator. Jeffrey, thanks for making the case for Trump.
Thanks very much, Chris. Thanks for having me.